This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, we had a crazy weekend. Big time games. Playoff field type games. The Avalanche and the Stars, the Nuggets and the Spurs. Why did they have to be on at the same time? That was kind of frustrating. But a couple of dubs to talk about. And the Rockies got us one win closer to shaving. Where are we in our predictions to when that's actually going to happen? I don't know. Mixed bag right now. Great guess. Colorado State keeping most of their dudes, but one casualty. Very frustrated. Well, one main casualty. I'm saddened by this one. We'll get to it. The whole show starts now. Mosquito Joe. And I gotta tell you, Mosquito Joe, whatever they did, I haven't seen a mouse or a mosquito once. So I'll tell you more about that later on in the program. We've got some great guests lined up. Kevin Lytle will join me. He is our CSU Rams insider here at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about what Ali Faroukhmanesh has been up to. At this point, it's kind of about retaining your guys. And I think so far pretty good on that. Kevin's predictions were pretty solid on that, too, so I'll get on that. Mark Johnson going to join us, the voice of the Buffs. But as you know, we go deep into the world of college athletics, and there is a new executive order around, you know, that was placed by President Donald Trump. Does it have any teeth? Will it actually stick? I'm not so sure. We'll get into that one. But first things first here, Michael, how about the good, the bad, and the ugly? Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good. In a battle of MVP candidates, certainly Joker and Wimby in the top four, although if you watch ESPN, you wouldn't know Joker even existed. But he existed in this one. The Nuggets win 136-134 in overtime. They snapped the Spurs' 11-game win streak, but it was the showdown that has people talking. Joker outdueled Victor Wembanyama. Victor had 34 points, 18 rebounds, 7 assists, but Joker threw in 40 points, 8 rebounds, and 13 assists, and the Nuggets win big. The NBA standings are extremely tight right now. I'll get to some of that later on. That's going to be something to watch out for, and we'll discuss whether you want the third seed or not. You probably want to play the Rockets in that first round. So do the Nuggets mess with basketball karma? Lose a couple of little bike a little. You never lose games. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll get into it. The bad is the Rockies lose the series to the Phillies. Friday was rough. A home opener was just an absolute gross fest for the Rocks, but they did win one yesterday. And the ugly, I don't know if you have any of these clips, but the whole Gino Auriemma and Dawn Staley thing. What are we doing here? That was... Gino was mad that he didn't get a long enough handshake or had to wait for the handshake or didn't get a hug or what. And Dawn Staley, instead of just like being frustrated with it, the catcher on camera saying, "I will beat Gino's, I will beat him down." And then before their championship game, she's like, "I'm not, that's not derailing my focus. I'm from Philly." And then they absolutely get smashed like they did last season in the championship game. So that was ugly. I want to unpack that one too. They're both acted like children, I think, in this. I don't dislike either coach, really. But I didn't. Obviously, Gino's complaining about a handshake, and then Dawn's going off saying she's going to beat him down. I mean, the response to Gino's childish was childishness. Is that it, Mike? Was a little wacky to me. But first things first, Mike, the Nuggets win over the Spurs, just kept battling back. The Spurs looked like they were going to pull away. It was a tight game, and then the Spurs started doing their thing, but the Nuggets never went away and forced overtime, got the stop they needed in regulation. The Spurs, with Wimby, go to double Joker, kind of in the corner, and Joker just finds a wide open Aaron Gordon for the dunk to send this thing to OT. And then it really got crazy once we got to OT, and that was, talk about a playoff-type showdown. I still think Shea's going to be the favorite to win the MVP. The straw poll that came out indicates he's going to win it, but performances like that against teams like that tend to turn some heads. So I have to imagine Joker at least climbed up maybe to the second spot in the MVP standings. Luka, obviously, hurt. He's going to miss the remainder of the season, probably most of that first round. So will Austin Reeves. So the Lakers, you don't root for injuries. You take advantage of injuries. But I would imagine that puts Luka out of the mix for sure. Wimby, with that game, probably puts him out of the mix. I would imagine it's going to come down to Shea and Joker. And Shea's probably, I would say, is still the clear favorite. But it doesn't matter. Joker's the best player in the world, man. And his defense, for all the knocks about his defense, he was excellent defensively. And get this, dude. All those stats, 40 points, 13 assists, 8 rebounds. He has the ball in his hands a lot. Not one turnover. Not one turnover by Nikola Jokic. Here's what Wimby had to say after the game and after the duel. Do you have that one? Oh, I thought you gave me the thumbs up when I asked you if we had that one. Okay, we don't have that one. Wimby basically just... It was one of those, like, back... You do have that one. Okay, it's Wimby, the tall guy, Mike. He's talking about Joker at the end of this one.
It is a little bit different than most teams, obviously. I mean, they got the best offensive player in the world. So when you come into these games, you always have to be focused on defense because you don't want to... they've been the best offense of the past, I don't know, 5 years maybe, I don't know. For a reason. So you have to come into the game defensive minded. I think as I said, we did a pretty good job. It was a real fun game, and we're going to learn a lot from it.
Very fun game. I mean, if that's how the playoffs are going to go, that could save the NBA. A playoff series between the Nuggets and the Spurs, and if the Thunder have a good showing or have a good series against, you know, especially in that second round, whoever that might be the Nuggets. I think this is something that could save the NBA. Because at the start of this season, remember, it was all about the gambling stuff, Chauncey Billups involved, and his was sort of different. But then, of course, more junk came out that maybe he was more involved in the actual in-game stuff. And that has never really been confirmed yet. But the NBA started off on a very sour note. And to have games like that, that have a lot of playoff meaning, I mean, the Spurs are trying to chase down the Thunder for the one seed. That almost knocks them out of it. I mean, the Thunder could lose the rest of their games and the Spurs could win the rest of theirs, and I think they could get it. I'd have to look at all their remaining games. The Nuggets have 4 games remaining. But in a game like that, in moments like that, when they come down to it, I mean, Joker with that Sombor shuffle over Wimby, was the stuff of legend. I know it's a regular season game, but it's a big regular season game because Denver has not secured a 4th spot even. They have Houston right behind them. Houston's a game behind Denver. So it was a very important basketball game because if you do end up playing Houston in the first round, obviously being a 4 seed over a 5 seed, you get the home court advantage. That's important, vitally important. And these are the kind of moments back and forth. Wimby was phenomenal in this game too. Like, no disrespect to Wimby. And I just, you know, wanted to play that clip because he was right. It was a fun game. But it was also like a backhanded kind of compliment because Wimby, since he started vying for the MVP, started being more vocal about it, he's been preaching defense. And, you know, we talked about like what Draymond Green had to say about Wimby's comments, basically saying that defense is the other half of the game. He didn't like the fact that he even had to say it. But that is definitely what Wimby is putting, you know, most of his stock into for him winning MVP. Is not only is he putting up monster numbers offensively, but he's a hell of a defensive player. He had 5 blocks in that game. And that was great. But him sticking with that made sure to compliment Joker and just say, well, he's the best offensive player. He said that last or 2 years ago, too. He said, Joker's not the best player in the league. He's the best offensive player in the league. You know, I think he said at the time it was Giannis, and I don't remember who else he said that were the best players. But you could kind of tell he's going to stay true to what he's been building for his campaign by saying that Joker's just, oh, no, he's the best offensively. Well, then that would mean he should win it over Shea, according to Wimby. Wimby's going to maintain that his defense should put him over the top. But where was his defense in those final possessions? It was there. This is what I tell you, Mike. When you see defensive play in the NBA, it's not always, oh, they gave up 136 points. That means they're not playing defense. You got a 7'5 dude with his hand in the air. That's going to block 90% of shots, maybe more than that. And Joker finds the angle with that. The first one was that little teardrop floater lay-in, and that was beautiful. And then it was the Sombor shuffle that he hit to make it a 4-point game, which was crucial because San Antonio did hit that final shot that didn't mean anything to cut it to 2. They were down 5. But that was a big play. And that's a play that if that was in the playoffs, that's going down in Nuggets history. Certainly this one's going to go down in regular season history. Not that we'll remember that, but this is what I'm talking about. When I made the post that pissed a lot of people off, when I said Joker is better, and I was a little, I probably exaggerated a few things in that post. Wimby can pass. He had 7 assists in this game, but we're not going to compare the two. I mean, between who's the better passer between Wimby and Joker, it's night and day difference. And that Wimby's going to win multiple MVPs when it's all said and done. I just don't think it's going to happen this year. I'd still be shocked if Joker somehow wins it because the straw poll came out last week and it's usually pretty damn accurate. But I'm telling you, games like this that have standings implications and you have one superstar just slightly overperform the other superstar, and this superstar that he outperformed is a defensive superstar, that, I'm not saying it's going to change a lot, but it certainly will get people talking. And it has people talking. So, what a freaking game. Aaron Gordon's defense was tremendous. I thought Joker played tremendous defense. I don't remember seeing his feet move that quickly. The guy's rested, man. Remember, he missed over a month. That's going to help him in these playoffs. That's going to help him play defense in these playoffs. Cam Johnson came up with some critical threes. Christian Brown was exceptional. Jonas Valanciunas only had 6 minutes in this game, but those minutes packed a punch. 7 points. Trying to put Wimby on the ground a couple of times. That's what you're going to ask if you end up getting into that series. So I'm going to look at what the actual playoff bracket would look like today. I know you hate that, but if the playoffs were to start today, which they start next week, what would that look like for the first round for the Nuggets? What would that look like potentially in the second round for the Nuggets? It was huge. Yes, Michael.
I don't mind it like at this time because the playoffs are almost right now. If it's like before 50% of the games are played, that bothers me.
Well, we've got 4 left. 4 left for the Nuggets. And
yeah, so there's nothing wrong with speculation.
As of right now, they would be playing the Rockets in the first round. And you win that, then you would be playing the Thunder, I believe. They'd be playing the Thunder in the second round. So we'd see the Lakers and the Timberwolves. The Spurs would be playing whoever that 7 seed ultimately is, whether that's the Suns or the Clippers. The Thunder would be looking at the Trailblazers or the Warriors, getting Steph back. I watched Golden State and Houston. That was a fun game.
And Steph missed a lot of time, and he comes right back in, and he looks like vintage Steph Curry. I think these playoffs are going to be absolutely, especially on the Western Conference side of things, the playoffs are going to be great, and the NBA absolutely needs it. They don't want sweeps. They want these games, especially once we get to the second round. We want it to go as long as you possibly can. Because I think there's three teams that are making a strong case that they could win the title, or they could go to the finals. Obviously, that's the Thunder and the Spurs, and I think the Nuggets are there. Now, depending on what the health situation looks like for the Lakers, I mean, I would put that Lakers-Timberwolves series as must-see television, but if Luka's not there and Reeves isn't there, that changes that series drastically. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Coming up, Kevin Lytle's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, talk some Colorado State, some big names returning, one big name not returning, and we'll get into what that means for Ali Farokhmanesh going into his second season and the Rams' first season in the Pac-12, just how important this weekend was for Colorado State. 21 minutes after the hour. Keep it here. When we come back, the Avs beat the Stars over the weekend as well. Those games are on at the same time. How often does that happen late in the year, and especially in the playoffs, where we gotta pick between the two? And I'll tell you what, man, that was a huge win for the Avs, and they just need one more to lock down that top spot. So we'll get into that coming up next. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The boys aren't shaving until the Rockies win 30. Hear Rockies games and talk on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The beverage of the week over at On the Rocks Liquor is the 196 Vodka Seltzer made by the legendary Suntory Spirit House in Japan. These are low sugar, whole fruit flavored seltzers. They're perfect for summer. As we're heating up more and more, this is a perfect summer drink. Stop by On the Rocks Liquor. They're going to be doing a free sample this Friday from 4 to 7 at On the Rocks, just half a mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. Be sure to tell them you heard about them right here on The Whole Show. I obviously watched the Nuggets game, the Nuggets and Spurs game. Mike, did you watch any of that Avalanche Stars game by chance?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't get a chance to watch? I figured for sure you'd be circling that one. But that was now they lose to St. Louis the next day, but the emotions, man. That game, 0-0 going into the third, and you get Marty Natchez breaks the tie midway through the third period, and then McKinnon gets the empty netter, and the Avs win 2-0. And that was a big one, because if the Avalanche did really struggle here down the stretch, I think they have six games remaining, then you look at it, okay, well, if they'd be at 108, then the Stars would have been at 104. Is there a chance that the Stars can pass them? Yeah, small chance. Now, all the Avs got to do, I believe, is just win one more game, and they're going to secure that top spot in the Central Division and get that home ice advantage. So that was a crucial one, and maybe help Jared Bednar and company exercise some of those demons that come with the Dallas Stars. Give you that confidence you're going to need, because they'd be looking to probably play them in the second round, I believe, Mike. So all that pressure that's on Jared Bednar winning, just like with the Nuggets and Spurs. Yeah, it's a regular season game, but it's sometimes those games against teams that you're not projected to beat, both the Avs and the Stars, both the Nuggets and the Spurs, and you win in a crucial late-season matchup like that, that can give you so much confidence going into the postseason. That could be a mentality game-changer for both of these teams. Which one of those was bigger? Which one was the biggest win? You could certainly make a case that the Avs beating the Stars was was the bigger of the two. But I think for Nuggets fans or for NBA fans, there was a larger belief that Denver was outside looking in as far as a favorite to go represent the West in the finals. Winning a game like that, I think, has most people believing that this is a three-horse race now. The Avalanche, man, I mean, a loss to the Stars, I think the Avs have been the favorite, obviously, all season, but if a loss to the Stars hit like that, I think more of that rhetoric would be, well, the Avs are the best team in the league, they just can't beat the Stars. So both were just absolutely huge wins for both of these teams. And you want to have those clutch type of wins. Both were clutch type wins, right? You're 0-0 halfway through the third period, and Marty Natchez puts one in to give you the big lead. And one goal in those kind of games are tough to come by, so that was huge. And for Denver to win in overtime against the Spurs, they were on an 11-game win streak. I mean, they look like they were just going to soar into the playoffs, maybe pass up the Thunder in that for that number one seed. But that one, that likely ruins their chances of getting the number one seed. So big weekend for us, man. A lot of fun. I can't wait for these playoffs. Get ready to be stressed out, Mike. It's going to be a lot of stress. Every other night, it's going to be Avalanche. It's going to be Nuggets. And you can hear all those games. We're going to have them for you right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. So if you happen to not be at home at the time, or you're still at work or whatever, you're working late, we're going to have those games on the air for you right here in Northern Colorado.
Hopefully not at the same time.
Hopefully not, but it's going to work out that way a few times. You just got to get used to it. It's going to happen. So I need you to be my point man on this, Mike. When we do have those games, you know I'm going Nuggets. I'm going to need you on the Avs. I'm going to need you.
I'm sorry, but we're going to carry the Avalanche on those games.
What?
We're going to carry the Avalanche instead of the Nuggets. I know it's not my decision, but it's my wishful thinking.
Okay. I doubt that's your decision, but yes. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with Kevin Lytle. No, we'll actually kind of go 50-50 on that, the way we do it here. It's not a fanboy station, right? So we're going to go with what are those games that are going to mean the most if they are at the same time. 30
so
minutes after the hour,
seven.
We'll have Kevin Lytle join us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Let's talk some Colorado State coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Joining me now on our first Advantage Hotline is the Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, man, you got to be feeling pretty good about yourself here. I think most of how you kind of ranked or rated the chances, the percentage chance of these guys coming back for CSU basketball, I think you're kind of leaning in the positive on this so far, man.
Yeah, I've got a pretty good hitting percentage on that one. That's one of those situations. Had a few birdies in the ear, you know, giving me some hints on what might be happening, but, you know, wasn't 100% locked down, so I had to hedge the bets a little bit. But, yeah, it's looking like Colorado State is returning the vast majority of the rotation for next season.
Obviously, the biggest name was Kyle Jorgensen, and once he came back, you have to wonder if that helped with other guys in their decision. I don't know, but I know that was the big one. But what, you know, obviously the leap he made from his freshman year to his sophomore year. I mean, we got to expect great things from this guy, especially coming back to play with Ollie.
Yeah, totally. Especially that non-conference was really, really impressive. we came back, you know, I think he's, you know, one, he was coming back from injury, which is hard. You know, it's hard to ever pinpoint, you know, he's probably the only person in the world that could pinpoint how much the injury maybe impacted him. But obviously he also came back and CSU was struggling a bit and all of that. But he still put up pretty nice numbers. And if you look at just the raw leap from freshman to sophomore year, it's really good. So great signs for CSU, you know, another guy that, you know, another year of, you know, summer in the weight room, you know, staying in the same system. I think all of that is just going to bode really well for him. And yeah, he was the centerpiece of what his decision meant for the offseason. Because if he left, you know, it's one player, but it would change what Ali Frokmanesh and staff we're going to have to do this summer.
Yeah, yeah, that was like center, but centerpiece, really, for this team. And then you started to see the other names hit. You know, Kerry Booth, who you were confident would return. He's traveled quite a bit, you know, in his college career. So for him to be able to settle down and stay under CSU, I mean, that speaks well to, I think, what Ali does with these guys, that they were really good in high school, maybe just didn't quite reach their full potential, but they play with Ali and they take another step.
Yeah, exactly. Keeping so many guys is a great sign for CSU, great sign for Ali Frokmanesh. You know, I think, like you said, it speaks well to him. And it, you know, I think you can start building excitement for next season right away now.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado one. Okay, so Jace Butler's coming back. JoJo McIver, I want to talk about him too. Rashawn Bemba coming back as well. Will he be, like, coming back more in that reserve role? We did see, obviously, games where he started at the beginning of the season. They were together sometimes, but then ultimately it was Kyle Jorgensen. So for him to kind of be cool with potentially what that could look like, I think is also fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, we look at, it's, you know, there's some things you can do. You can tinker around, but I can't see them moving Kerry Booth to the bench and certainly can't see them moving Kyle Jorgensen to the bench. So, yeah, I think it's probably most likely that Bemba comes off the bench, but I think that's a huge piece. You know, I don't want to say Bemba's divisive among the fans. That's far too strong a word. But there are some that kind of grouse and, you know, think he doesn't do enough. But he's just a guy that don't look at numbers. He's not built on numbers. That's not what his game is. He brings a physicality, a defensive mindset, a leadership. There were a lot of times this year you would see him. He's an anime guy. Be pretty animated on the court with players. And he just knows the system, obviously, inside and out as well. So it's a lot of things that go beyond the numbers. I think it's huge to have him back.
Yeah, absolutely. With JoJo McIver coming back, and obviously this goes into the one I think you expected with Brandon Recksteiner transferring out. Obviously, this opens up a path for JoJo to start at point guard. But for Recksteiner, what was it that you're hearing, Kevin? Money? I mean, I'm guessing there was a lot of money involved for him. He was a good player, but sometimes we see the money kind of almost be a little too high in some cases. We'll see what happens. But what went into that decision, do you think?
Yeah, I'm super fascinated to see where he goes. You know, that's one I'd been hearing for a few weeks maybe could be possible. And he's a guy, good player, I think, you know, good to very good player, great shooter. But I think it maybe is best for both parties. I think he'll be able to, go get a bag somewhere, bag meaning money, and probably have a chance to play again at the P4 level. And for CSU, you know, He wasn't an awful point guard by any means, but he certainly had some struggles against certain defenses and whatnot. So I think CSU, you know, pretty clearly that NIT game, JoJo McIver played pretty much the whole second half while Recksteiner was on the bench. That seemed to be a pretty clear indication of what's coming moving forward. So, yeah, I think you go now to a more traditional point guard in JoJo McIver. And I also kept saying and writing that felt like you wouldn't bring back both Pascarelli and Recksteiner because I think you need them to be in a shooting guard role. But again, obviously, there wouldn't be enough time or shots for both of them. So Recksteiner leaving, you know, is kind of paired with Pascarelli coming back. So I think what they've added or kept or lost all makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it does. And you never got to meet Papa Pump, Kevin. I mean, that's the bummer
that
of this whole
bummer.
Thing. You never got to meet Scott Steiner.
That's a big bummer for you. Yeah, big bummer for you, probably more significantly.
Well, we tried to get him on the show a couple of times, Kevin, but then we were referred to an agent, and I'm like, that usually means they're going to want us to pay for it. And I love Scott Steiner, but I don't think we're going to pay for that, Kevin. I'm not sure, but we're just probably not going to do that.
That is probably fair.
JoJo McIver, though, big opportunity for him. This is a dude, you and I have both said this, just talking to him. And you know, the way he kind of moves out there, certainly, you know, this is crazy praise because Isaiah Stevens is one of the greatest Rams of all time across all sports. But, I mean, if there is a guy to maybe have a chance to be that caliber of player, it could be JoJo McIver. His defensive abilities there. What's he missing to become that real that complete player next season?
Yeah, a lot of it, you know, just that composure and especially game experience composure, you know, on the ball. He would get sped up at times, which, again, is normal. I think JoJo's a perfect example of how Isaiah ruined CSU fans.
Yeah.
I mean that somewhat jokingly, but also very realistically of what he did is not normal. Him playing so veteran-like as a freshman was not normal. And also, as you know, Nika Medved would remind us sometimes of like, hey, guys, love Isaiah, but he also wasn't perfect as a freshman either. You know, he would throw it into the seventh row sometimes too. So JoJo has a lot. There's some fans that for some reason that don't seem to feel it's there. But, man, I talk to a lot of people that know a heck of a lot more basketball about me, about basketball than I do, and they rave about this kid. Both the intangibles, work ethic, you know, how he is in the locker room, all that. Elite defender, I think already last year he was a good perimeter defender. I think he has a chance to be absolutely elite. And then we would see in flashes. I mean, he can get in the paint. He had some pretty nice passes. He has good vision. The shot looks fine. The numbers weren't amazing, but I think those will go up. I think he's going to be good. And an interesting thing I found, I looked at his freshman numbers compared to Kyle Jorgensen's. Now, obviously, totally different roles, different in what they try and do, but they played about the same amount of minutes as freshmen. Their overall numbers were pretty similar. And, you know, look at the leap Josh, because Josh Pasquarelli also just said he's coming back. But Kyle Jorgensen, the leap he made from freshman to sophomore year, I think JoJo could be in line for some similar. I'm not saying he's going to be scoring 29 points in games like Jorgensen was, because that's not going to be his role. But I think he's a guy that's going to look way different in November this upcoming season than he did, you know, this season.
Well, and with Ali's track record, whether it's as a head coach with the one-year sample size or even as an assistant, we've seen him take guys and really make that jump. The most recent, you're talking about, well, we already mentioned Kerry Booth, but Kyle Jorgensen too.
Yeah, exactly. They just player development at CSU under this staff. It's just been really good. I mean, there's a track record of it. So I think when they tell you they think a player can make a big jump, you have to at least listen to it and see what happens, because they've proven it can happen.
Kevin, you mentioned it, Josh Pasquarelli, recent news there. He is, in fact, coming back. That was the one we were kind of wondering about. You put your list out, who's transferring or who's staying, who's transferring out, and Josh had not yet hit that. I know that'll be updated now, but Josh Pasquarelli, how big is that for CSU?
Yeah, I think it's significant. He's, again, somewhat like Jorgensen. He struggled a bit later on. You know, I think especially when Jorgensen went down, Pasquarelli then became the focus for opposing defenses, and that's hard. It was his first, you know, Mountain West season, which is a level up from where he had been at Marist. But then obviously he had the injury late in the season, which kind of derailed, you know, the end of things. But the guy is a pure shooter. I mean, he's now played 3 years in college and is a 40-some% 3-point shooter. So you just can't ignore that. He's another kind of like you were asking about Bimbo. What's his role going to be? You know, I can't see Jace Butler going to the bench given how he progressed.
Mm-hmm.
Amando Miller, you know, who they just added in the portal. He's an intriguing, you know, guard wing option. You know, does he maybe start? So could Pasquarelli be, you know, kind of a bench sharpshooter, which, you know, maybe could fit really well. But another guy that I think is a good player and a good piece, and we'll see, you know, exactly where he fits in.
One of the guys I was kind of shocked to see transferring out, Kevin, was Darnell Slater. He looked like, you know, he didn't get a ton of minutes, but he looked like one of those project guys that maybe in a year or two we're going to be discussing his name, you know, a little bit longer because he could maybe become a player. So I was kind of shocked. We talk about all this, you know, development under Ali Farokhmanesh. That one stunned me.
Yeah, that's one of those tough ones that I wonder if it's somewhat a matter of just circumstances of today's college sports. Like, you don't, you know, Rashawn Bimba is a 4 years at one school guy now, which is wild. You know, in a previous iteration of college basketball, would a guy like Darnez have done, yeah, exactly that. Redshirt as a freshman, play a few minutes as a redshirt freshman, which is what he did this year. Play a few more as a redshirt sophomore, then, you know, maybe a redshirt junior, you become the guy. You know, that would have been the path in, you know, 2005, we'll call it. But now, you know, for both parties, you can kind of start looking elsewhere. You know, from Darnez's side, you could certainly see he played, I think it's like 150 minutes this season, so not a lot. He had the one really big impact game at UNLV, but, you know, didn't play a ton. And then from the CSU side, I mean, it's a winning business. You know, I'm not saying Ali Farokhmanesh is under any job pressure, but, you know, the longer you go without making a postseason, the more, or, you know, the NCAA tournament, the more pressure rises. They know they have a great roster and need to make sure they win next year. So maybe, you know, I can totally see how that conversation was, you know, I just don't see many minutes for you next season. And so for maybe both parties, you go the other way because, you know, we talked JoJo and obviously his role. Pops Dunson coming in from Georgia, I keep hearing great things about him as well. He's a two-time state champ. I'm told that they expect he will be playing next season. So he's probably your backup point guard. And, you know, they may still go get a, you know, some type of guard in the portal. So it's, again, just the pressure of needing to win. Maybe it just served both parties for Darnez to go. But I agree with you. I think I wrote this at the end of the season. There's a player in there. He's going to be a good college basketball player. It just might be elsewhere.
Yeah. Kevin, tell us, you mentioned him a little bit earlier, but tell us more on what you know about one of the transfers coming in Amondo Miller.
Yeah, this was the piece we knew they would need to go get, that wing player. It was the Nate Clifford role, then it was the Jevin Mooney's role. Now it's the Mondo Miller role, sort of, he's a guard, he's a forward, you know, he's a wing, he's whatever you want to be. He was at Lubbock Christian the past two seasons. He averaged 21 points, 8 point something rebounds, like 3 or 4 assists a game. He was a D2 All-American, really, really huge season. But he's a guy that, again, kind of a non-traditional path. He started at Colorado. I don't know if CSU has ever signed a former Colorado wing player that became good. I don't know. Nate Clifford. Started there. You know, he played with Clifford there and, you know, didn't really play much. Went to Fort Lewis, where he actually played with Charlie Dortch, CSU's walk-on from Fort Collins. Then went to Lubbock Christian and has now played his way kind of back up to the, you know, the Division I level. So he's a guy, don't expect 21 points per game like he did at Lubbock Christian, but I know CSU staff thinks that, and, you know, guys they've had from this level, that rebounding always translates. And so a guy that averaged, you know, 8 rebounds a game is going to really help them in that role. And I think that's one of the things, you know, maybe they were missing this year of, you have your bigs, and, you know, obviously it's important for them to rebound. But CSU's best rebounding teams have come when they have a good wing to come flying in and grab those, you know, again, which is what Nate Clifford did at, you know, an NBA level. Not saying Amondo Miller is going to be NBA level there, but he should be a really good rebounder and do a lot of things well. So, yeah, he's a guy that I think will see the floor a lot for CSU.
Well, job well done by Coach Ali Farokhmanesh, retaining most of this core, and excellent work from you as always. And a nice write-up, too. Your end-of-season interview with Coach Farokhmanesh as well. That is very interesting. It's fun to follow, you know, document his career, man. It's special getting to see his first job as a head coach and kind of follow that here at CSU.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I appreciate, you know, he's pretty open about, you know, his ups and downs of learning as a coach. You know, it's not just, oh, you know, I've been assistant, I know how to do this. He's very open of, you know, what he's learning and everything. So, yeah, I hope people go check that out. I thought it was some insightful comments from Ollie.
No question, man. Kevin, appreciate you jumping on with us on this Monday, and we'll catch up with you later this week.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our CSU Rams insider. Strongly suggest you subscribe to the Colorado, and if you are a Rams fan, wonderful article. An end-of-season kind of interview, review Kevin had with Coach Farouk Manesh. 11:52 the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up this hour. Top stories of the day. We've got college sports. Stuff's moving, right? Executive orders being placed. Do these orders have any real teeth? And we'll talk about that probably a lot in detail with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, coming up as well. Keep it here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Gel. We'll be right back.
Will the Nuggets get bounced in the first round, or will they make a serious run this postseason? Find out with us and listen to every game on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up in the next hour, we'll get to top stories of the day, and yeah, specifically this executive order that aims to fix college sports. It seems easy, maybe too easy. Mark Johnson will join us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and more on the NBA in the NBA standings. What makes more sense for the Nuggets in the first round? All that coming up. It's the whole show. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.